If you would open your scripture to the Psalms, Psalm 42 and 43, those two goes together. It's not too long. As I understand, you are using different translation of the Bible. I'm going to read from the King James Version, and I'm going to preach from NIV. Compensating odd. Psalm 42 reads, "As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holiday. Why art thou cast down, my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep the voice of thy water sports. All thy waves and willows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the day time and the night. His songs shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, and to God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O my God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Let's pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, and thy people may be blessed, O Lord, my God, my strength, my Redeemer. Amen. As you know, the book of Psalms has been divided into five books, and You have a study Bible, you know very well. And this Psalm 42 and 43, which we just read, is the second book of the Psalms and the first chapters. The background of this particular portion here is King David flees. He lost his kingdom. His son Absalom took his kingdom very deceitful way, and he flees into the desert and hiding in a cave. And he's left alone himself. Once he was a mighty king, and now he lost everything, and he left alone and hiding in that cave. And he lifts up his head and sees far off Jerusalem and the very Passover celebration. People are coming from all over the world. And once upon a time, he was the leader in that Passover procession. But now here he left with the fear, not only his son from his son, but the wild beasts, and he's hiding. In that particular situation, he sees a deer running around in the desert, the heat of the desert, and looking for water. And to understand exactly the situation of the deer, the deer's agony, we need to imagine, we need to place ourselves in the heat of that desert. Extreme heat, and for a drop of water, the deer is searching. And David sees that one and he says, that is me. The present situation of mine is the same as that deer. And that deer is searching for water. But here, David lost his assurance, his comfort, his kingdom, and everything. And he is not even able to go to worship God. And that's what the first sentence of this psalm explains us. So all these, both psalms together, I have just three things to say today, that repeat itself. And so the division is that chapter 42, verse 1 to 3 is an inner cry, a cry from the inner being. If you like, a theme of this message today is an inner dialogue. That's a theme. An inner dialogue or a self dialogue. So a cry, the first inner cry, is all about David's present situation. Unable to change by himself, but he, accepting that situation, cry for God to intervene in the situation. And verse 4 is remembering the past at lack of assurance. At the same time, there is a glimpse of hope. And verse 5 is an appeal. Why cast down? But at praising him. So these themes repeats. Again, verse 8 to 10. Oh, sorry. Verse 6 to 7 is an inner cry. This time, the difference is reflecting on the past, believing that God is able to change the situation. Even though he himself cannot change, but God is able to change the situation. And verse 8 to 10 is a hope that the Lord will command his grace against the oppression of the enemy. That hope. And verse 11, again an appeal. Downcast. Why how downcast my soul? That's why the inner conversation, I don't know whether you understand what I'm talking about, the inner conversation, a self-conversation. Some of you talk to yourself, don't you? You talk to yourself, but it's slightly different from that. Talking to the soul, a meditation within you. You ask questions. Whenever we make a decision, for example, you make a decision, I make a decision. Whenever we make a decision, we ask back and forth, don't we? Or we think back and forth. Some people just think, some people ask this question. And that's exactly what is happening here. David sits hiding in this cave. He is thinking back and forth or asking himself back and forth. That's what I call the inner dialogue. That's a picture. That's what we see, the repetition again. And hope, why downcast is asking? Yes, I understand. God will command. He look back his experience, how God has led him. And again, at that present situation, he cast down. But it flipped the tongue. Again, he says, I will praise God. Although he lacks assurance, but yet he says he will praise God. And verse the next chapter, 43, verse 1 and 2. Again, this cry from inner being. But this time, its difference is that for judgment, vindication from God, that he is going to judge the situation. He is handing over to God the entire situations and trusting him that he will judge righteously. So trusting in that, his intervention will come in appropriate time. And then again, hope. This time the hope is, I will go. Certainty. Confidence. Confidence. Based upon confidence. I will go. Even though he is not sure what time. And then verse 5 again. Appeal. Downcast. And at the end, I will praise him. Whatever situation that may be. So let's look again the Psalms. I don't have a watch. If somebody, if I go over the time, somebody has just warned me. Look, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all the day long, where is your God? That is the inner cry. He is thinking, he is meditating. What is happening? As the deer, as I said to the background, the deer is searching for water, he is panting after water. I am in that situation, but not really for water, but God's love, God's presence, as he experienced in the past. And that is lacking now. And that's what he is questioning into his soul. When can I go and meet with God? I think this is appropriate to ask for ourselves. Have you come across such a situation in your life? I'm sure you have. Perhaps you don't remember. We all come to certain kind of situations in our life. We question our very being. Perhaps our faith. We question. And especially when situations such as David faces the enemy, his own family member, his own son, and his kingdom is lost. Perhaps people, when you lose your job or looking for a job, or family members rejects you, or friends forsakes you, whatever may happen, you begin to ask yourself, question yourself, perhaps a different sorts of questions. If you are outside of Christ, outside the kingdom of God, then you may curse yourself. I don't know how you handle it. But I hope you all are hiding in Christ today, as David is hiding in that cave, fearing the enemies. You are hiding in Christ without any fear, having experienced His grace, His protection throughout your life. And you perhaps look back your own life and see how the Lord has brought us thus far, and taking a stand there. Each one's situations perhaps different from the other person's. And that's why I encourage you to have this inner dialogue within yourselves. I would encourage you to ask yourselves that questions, to know yourselves. Very often we think we know ourselves, but I urge you that we don't know. I don't know myself enough. I know something of myself. The same, if it is true with me, it is true with you too, because we are not different. We are all the same people, fallen and rejected and went our own ways, but the grace has brought us together. So we need to learn ourselves. That's what David is doing, actually asking the question himself. He is trying to understand himself. Why I am in this position, although I have experienced God and His strength and His praise, and He brought us this far. But why? Why have my soul cast down within me? And that's what we see again. He is remembering the past. Verse 4, it says, "These things I remember." Looking back in the past. And there is where the hope comes. It's very important for you and me. Although we live in present, here and now, but sometimes we look back. Those good things, how God has dealt with us. How He has saved us, for samples. He provided for us. And we trust. And based upon that, we hope the Lord will take me from this present situation, whatever that may be. For David, he lost the kingdom. He cannot go with the multitude to the temple to worship God in that Passover festival celebrations. But perhaps in this present situation, for you and me, a different kind of experience. And each one, as you dialogue within yourselves, you would know what is your situations. But the reality here is David take courage, encouragement himself, seeing that hope. He says, "I remember these things." Verse 4, "As I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with the shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festival tongues." I remember those things. But that God is the same. He has that understanding. Although he says, "I have cast down, my spirit is very low." But he has not forgotten totally of his past experience of God's help. If anyone is outside that Christ, they cannot have that kind of experience. They cannot have that kind of hope. So I call upon you, if anyone is there outside of Christ, if anyone doubts, flee to Christ. Come to Him. As Jesus himself says, all those who are heavy laden, come and take rest. So that's a place to take rest. And he will comfort you. He will provide for you. He give you the directions. As we see further on how David looks for that. Again, this appeal, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? The feeling. Yeah, there are two things goes on mind. One is the feeling and the other one is the rationale and experience. The rationale is based upon experience of the past, how God dealt with him. But the feeling here and now is different. And that's why he says, why have cast down my soul? As expressed very clearly that feelings. Why so disturbed within me? Or Avis put it, disquietened within me. Disturbed. As his soul is disturbed. Although he is not disturbed. You need to understand that kind of situations. If any of you have experienced, for example, deep kolath into deep. That means the things that has been buried in the unconscious situations. And that remembrance, or as Freud put it, the preconscience, easily bring to the mind and to meditate. That's exactly what is happening here with David. Thinking the past and the present feelings. Perhaps, for example, some of you had maybe good jobs or good time in the past, and present may not be that kind of situations. So you can think what God has done and provided that particular time. That's the only kind of situation King David is facing here. He had that kingdom, he was king, but now lost everything. In a different situation, a different feeling. And that's why it is cast down. Why you have cast down my soul? Why this disturbance within me? Why can't I trust in God? In other words, sometimes people tell me that I can't even pray because of my situation overwhelms me. So David experienced that kind of situations. Again, then immediately changes his mind. Put thou thy hope in God. Put hope in God, as NIV put it. I will praise him. You are my savior. He recognized, you see, the rational intellect. I mean, just for example, Genesis chapter 1, when Adam and Eve sinned and he lost the presence of God, the created the very image and likeness of God, he lost the presence of God. But when God came to the garden and called out Adam, he was able to recognize the voice of God, and that's why he was hiding from the presence of God. So although he have sinned, alienated from God, yet that intellect which God has given him, that he has not lost. He was able to recognize. And that's why very often you may hear so-called atheists, those who are anti-biblical Christian theses, or talk about, for example, Richard Dawkins and the God delusions, God and so on. He himself never said he is an atheist, because of that inner conscience pricks always. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter preaches in verse 37, what happened when they heard, it is you, they began to prick that inner conscience. What shall we do, brethren? And so you and I cannot eradicate our conscience, in other words, which God has implanted there. That idea of God always will be in that conscience. And you can read any number of books, theologians, philosophers, or psychologists. You trace this very thing. They may talk a tough talk, but they cannot eradicate the idea of God within them. And that is the same you and me. So this is exactly what is happening with David. David is experiencing the present situations and asks himself again back and forth, and why this, why me? Who haven't asked that question in your life? It's why me? These are pure human beings. Why me? He's asking. And the second again, verse 6 and 7, cry from inner being, reflecting on the past, believing God's ability to change the situation. And that's what we need to understand. God is able to change your situation and mine. Doesn't matter what is the present. And he is able to change that situation. All-powerful, all-knowing God knows the best. Verse 6 reads, my God, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, in the height of Hebron, Mount Meisor. Sometimes you see, we are in this particular situation is because we will remember God. Otherwise, we don't remember God. We will praise God. And that is what is happening here. David remembers and praises God. Although he cannot change the present situations, but hoping in God, and he is praising God. And that certain present situations brings us to our knees. Totally, entirely depend upon God. When did people come to God generally? All the doors has been closed. I work in the hospital. People, doctors rejects, medicines rejects, and nothing works. At last they began to cry to God. If there is a God, help me. And that is the very situation for every situation, every person's. They try everything within their power, with the finance, with the technologies, anything they can use. When all the doors are being closed, that's the point in time they began to call God. So perhaps that's why David has been brought into this particular situation. This God is all-powerful, all-knowing God. Here David himself says in verse 6, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the past onwards. And verse 8 to 10, and with that, within that remembrance, hope as it was previously. But this time the difference is that God will command his grace. Verse 8 to 10, verse 8 reads, by day the Lord will direct his love. At night his song is with me. A prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? He's asking this question. And verse 10, my bones suffer mortal agony as my foes daunt me, saying to me all the day long, where is your God? That remembrance of the past, although the present is cast down, and he prays to God for his love, he may command against the oppression of the enemy, that even his bonds, his mortal agony, all this he brings down before God, as these questions. Verse 11 again, another appeal, and he repeats the same thing. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. See that momentary thinking. One moment he says, I'm cast down, I'm disturbed. Next moment he says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And yet praise him, God, my Savior, and my hope. And this again continues in certainty comes in the next chapter. Chapter division and verse divisions in the scripture is not inspired. And the next division, he says, God, judge me, judge the people who oppress me. And 1 and 2, cry from inner being, a cry for vindication and assurance of God's intervention, that God is going to intervene. That's what he says here. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked man. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Sometimes we do ask that question, don't we? When we go to the street, when we evangelize, God is all-powerful, all-knowing God. Why people are not listening? Why they are mocking at me? Why they say all kinds of words to disturb you? Have you ever thought about that? I have. Why God is not intervening in these particular situations? At the same time, we know God is powerful based upon our own experience. We know it. But yet we ask this question, don't we? This is very human situation. That's why I like the Psalms. Psalms blindly talks things as it is. Doesn't hide, doesn't exaggerate, but speaks very plainly our own feelings and experience, express it. And sometimes you read in the Psalms, says, God, come down and destroy them, and so forth. And that's the kind of feelings which people have at that time. And that's just the experience of Psalms. So the Bible speaks about you and me. And we need to flee to Christ, flee to God as a refuge. There we can have this feeling has been removed. We can have that assurance has been reestablished. And we have that confidence will be there in God. And that's exactly what David says here. He says, why should I go by oppressed by enemies? You are all-powerful God. Why I should be mourning myself, my stronghold? And then he have this hope, this time very confident in that hope. verse 3 and 4, he speaks, send forth your light and your truth. Your light and your truth. When David says that one, sometimes, even this morning, I was thinking, why did he say that one? As if he didn't have the truth? As if he didn't have the light? The reason he speaks, I believe, is because of the present feeling. Perhaps overshadows to a certain extent. The sun is covered by the dark clouds, as it were. So he's saying, remove that cloud so I may see the light, see the truth clearly. And that definitely will lead me, says he. That will lead me. What does it say? send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them guide me. Let them bring me into your holy mountain, into the place where you dwell. And then will I go into the altar of God, into God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. So David, in one way, feels that now he is not in the presence of God. In this present situation, somehow God has totally ignored or forgotten him. And so he is asking for fresh guidance, if you like, that will lead me to the altar of God, to his very presence, so that I can have that joy. And this, remember this very David in Psalm 52, when he was committed of sin, and he says, do not take away the Holy Spirit. Or in other words, do not take away my salvation. So that is the very same David speaks, the very same kind of language here. He is pleading for God to send a fresh, sometimes we say, a fresh anointing of God. And that kind of language he uses. And that doesn't mean that he has totally forgotten, as we saw in the previous pages or verses. He has not forgotten, he is aware of it, but not aware of it. You understand what I'm saying here? On one hand, he knew for certain, on the other hand, as if he don't know anything. He's lost totally. And that kind of situation is here. But as he sends the fresh truth and light, that will lead a definite confidence here. That truth, the light of God, will guide me. Certain. And there is no shadow of doubt there. So the last chance again, appeal and cast down, that thought comes back again. But to the finality of that verse 5, he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Asking that question again to the soul. Why so disturbed within me? Why? But what you need to do? Put your hope in God, saying to the soul. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So David says, in other words, whatever situations we go through, let the praise of God be in our heart, in our mouth, in our thought process. And that is very important, our thought process. Everything begins there. Nothing comes from outside influence. What we think, what we entertain in our thoughts, and that's what our action comes about. So it is very important what you and I think about it, meditate about it, entertaining in our heart, in our thought process. And that's what we activate in our daily life. As this David again says in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word, O Lord, I have hidden in my heart, so that I shall not sin against you." So that is the most important thing for you and me as an application, is to hide his word, whatever situation that maybe there may be a reason why God has brought you in this present, presenting issues of your life. Maybe you need to praise him more, to grow closer to him, and to experience more of his love, more of his provisions, more of his help. And perhaps sometimes we may be half-half in our thought process. Half we give to God and depending upon him, but we think, oh, I need to do certain things. Not totally depending upon God. Perhaps that's the reason why you and I have these presenting issues. Whatever that may be. I don't know any of you, do you have any particular presenting issues? I'm not judging it by saying that one, but this is common to every human beings. We all experience certain things in our lives. So that we need to totally hand over to God, trusting in him that he is able to change our situation. That's exactly what David says here. "Though I am not able to change my situations," right at the beginning we saw, but at the last he says, "God is able to change my situations." Do you know that? That he is able to change your situation? Have you that confidence today? He is able to change, and he wants to change your situations for better and be closer to him. But I'm sad when I think about those who have not put their trust in God. Why am I sad? What are they relying on? Perhaps their finance? Perhaps their jobs? Perhaps or their high IQ, intelligent? Perhaps they have a lot of friends and family members to help in their situations. Two examples the scripture gives us here. One is about the prodigal sons. Instead of son, lost. What caused the son to come back to his father? Remembering the past, the presenting issue when he was in the field of pigs with hungry, eating in the very food of that pigs eats in order to fill his stomachs. Then the scripture says he came to his senses. When you were rich, only two sons in the family, and his father is very rich, we can see if you read Luke chapter 15. And he went far away, as far as he can, away from his father's presence. There he experiences starvation. There he experienced, just as the deer looks for water in a heat of the day in the desert. And he came to his senses. He returns to the father for mercy. And his father embraced him. And they began to celebrate. But the elder son, we don't know about him. He sat outside the kingdom. He didn't join that celebration. And that's the thing I'm thinking of. Perhaps I believe I trust all of you, but if there is anyone just like that elder son, I gently, lovingly urge that person specifically, come and join the banquet and enjoy the presence of God, even today, this very moment. And like that father, Jesus is there to embrace you, to welcome you into his very presence. Or else sometimes Christians, those who enjoy his presence always. Remember Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, fighting against 450 false prophets. Remember that two bullocks offering the sacrifices. Elijah put forward their proposals that let the Baal's prophet 450 together bring this sacrifice into the place and put the firewood and everything, and let the God of Baal send the fire and burn the sacrifices. And same Elijah said, I will do also. The God who answers with the fire will be the real God. And the Baal's prophet 450 did the same as they said, and they began to call Baal morning till evening, and Elijah began to mock them. Perhaps he is sleeping, perhaps he is on a journey, perhaps he is having dinner or something. Call louder and louder, but there was no answer. At the end, the evening sacrifice time, Elijah did the same, and he asked to pour water over the altar three times, and then he asked God to send fire, and the fire came and consumed the entire sacrifices. But the point I'm making here is, and then what happened to Elijah after the mighty victory among the prophets? He was depressed. He went and sat in the cave, just like David. And what did he pray for? Only me, O Lord, let me die. He wished to die there. And then there was a mighty wind. God was not in the wind. And there was a fire. God was not in the fire. At the end, a still small voice, God spoke to him. Are you listening in your present issuing situations? That small, still voice. For Christians, do you listen to God? He speaks to your heart, calling by your name. Small voice, still small voice. That's all the meditation. That's what is happening in this dialogue with David. That still small voice is still within him. That's why he says, I know God will command his grace. I know God will send his light and truth. I know God will lift me up. I have that assurance. But the feelings, let not that feeling lead you. Stand on the firm ground of the word of God and trust in him alone. May the Lord help you and bless you, especially as this festival season, Easter, is coming soon, and we worship the living God, the risen Lord. And let that meditation be in your heart and in your mind. And may God bless you, all of you, richly and mightily, for his glory and for his good, for our good. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess our own weakness and fragilities. Time to time we experience, as David experienced in that cave, these ups and downs in the life. But, oh Lord, you promised you would never leave nor forsake. Always with us. Even though we sometimes forsake you, sometimes we go on our own ways. But your hand is upon us, oh Lord. How we praise you and thank you. Give us that grace to continue to be in your presence, to praise you, to worship you, to glorify you, to be closer to you. Oh God, sometimes we can't do it ourselves, as David experienced and says, he cannot change the situations, but you are the person who to change. So change us and mold us Christ-like in day by day. In our daily life, in our family situations, in our work situations, in our personal affairs, in our prayers time, oh Lord, whatever circumstances that may be. And I pray that if there is anyone who experiences any personal issues, oh Lord, be very close to that individual, that he or she may know that you are there. You are speaking to that individual persons, even right now. God, grant him that assurance that she may have that confidence in you, that you will send forth your light and truth and to lift that individual up to the glory. Lord, we pray for this fellowship here and your people, and may your grace be abundant here, and that truth may go forth from this place to throughout the surrounding places. Remember Kevin and family. Oh Lord, grant them your presence and your love. May guide them, surround them, and bring them back safe and sound, refreshed and ready to serve you in this place. And prepare all the individuals, those who are gathered here. May you lift them before you, for your blessing may upon them, O Lord. Have mercy, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.